Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jim Dolan, back again to bring you some old-time radio from radio's glory days. We have an episode of X-1, so we're going to have some science fiction today, but we're going to start off with Broadway Is My Beat. Now, this is a police-type show from Broadway, of course, New York City, and it was from 1949 is the broadcast date. It's called the Paul Thomas Murder Case.
The FBI in Peace and War, ordinarily heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its usual summer vacation and will return to CBS 5 weeks from tonight on September 1st.
Broadway's My Beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's an enchanted island or a prison, a crazy happy dance or a funeral march in blues time. It's a sorcerer's palace with golden mirrors and jeweled fountains, or it's a wailing wall corroded with pain. Call it anything you want. It's My Beat. One of the ways to get on My Beat is to infiltrate through the grim lines of people trying to buy tickets to South Pacific. Those people are going to mutiny someday. It was about 9 in the morning and a good thing happened to me. The good thing was a kid named Paul Thomas. A sweet kid, a gentle kid. A kid who'd wrapped himself in iron to stall off the pain so many people handed to him for free.
Mr. Clover, could I talk to you for a minute?
Sure, Paul, sure. Any place, any time.
How about in the lobby here?
Okay, lobby it is. I'm sure glad to see you, Paul. It's been a long time.
Not so long, Mr. Clover. It's only 5-6 months since you got me that job. Maybe 7 months since you caught me breaking into a store.
Who remembers what happened 7 months ago? How's the job, Paul? How's it working out?
Mr. Eric Caron's been treating me fine. He's even had me bonded so I could deliver all that jewelry and stuff.
I bet your folks are proud.
Yeah, they're real proud, Mr. Clover.
I've been meaning to get up to Harlem to visit them. Your mother's a fine woman, Paul. Give her my best.
I'll do that, Mr. Clover. She keeps asking about you.
Paul, it's a good thing to see you the way you are.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Clover. I think I'm in big trouble.
Oh? You want to tell me about it here? We could go someplace and get a quiet cup of coffee.
I better tell you about it fast, Mr. Clover. A couple of days ago, they came...
Danny Clover, how's Broadway's glamour boy? How's the finest of the finest,
oh,
huh?
Oh, hi, Kirk.
Am I interrupting something, Danny? The boy won't mind being interrupted, will you, boy?
Maybe I mind, Kirk.
Oh, no offense, Danny. Come on, ask me how I am. Ask me how I've been doing.
How are you? How you been doing?
Oh, great. Very, very great, Danny. Yes, sir. Don't I rate an introduction to the boy, Danny?
Paul, this is Jerry Kirk, a private investigator. Paul Thomas, Jerry Kirk.
Hi, Mr. Kirk.
Danny, you don't keep up. A smart detective like you should keep up. I'm not a private eye anymore.
No? Well, so long, Kirk. See you around.
No. I'm not a private eye anymore. I'm in the plush, Danny. Plush office, plush stipend, furnished by Acme Insurance Company. I investigate insurance losses for them. Oh, it's a lot easier than breaking down doors to haul apartments.
But not so much fun, huh, Kirk?
More, Danny, more. It even gives me the price of a couple of tickets to South Pacific here. But, how about you, Danny? You still hitting the triple features in the grind houses, Danny?
Goodbye, Kirk.
Yeah, it's been swell seeing you, Danny.
I'm sorry about him, Paul. Now, tell me what's on your mind.
I can, Mr. Clover. I got to get to work. I'm late.
Paul, come back here. That's how the day began, with a kid starting to tell me a big trouble and then running away. It was about 5 when Paul's big trouble started to catch up with me. A patrolman leaned out of a squad car and handed me a slip of paper. J. Arakarian, the paper said. It said the Paramount Building, and at the bottom it said, urgent. I'd been there before. J. Arakarian, lapidary and dealer in precious gems, was on the 14th floor. You went through a door and past the beam of an electric eye and waded through a carpet to a desk and an olive-skinned girl with tight black hair. You gave your name and you got nodded past another beam and some carved oriental wall hangings to a young man. Morning coat cut to hide the lines of his shoulder holster and sneer cut to fit the scar that ran from his eye to the corner of his mouth. Then a chaperoned hike through another doorway. And there he was, J. Arakarian. Impeccable in ascot, striped pants, and a Legion of Honor ribbon in his satin lapel. He had another thing, a guest.
I asked Mr. Jerry Kirk to be with us, Lieutenant Clover, because his interests lie in the same direction as ours.
Hiya, Kirk. What's all this about?
Mr. Arakarian will tell you, Danny.
See that, Lieutenant.
What do you want to see me about, Mr. Arakarian?
About the boy you asked me to hire. About Paul Thomas.
You know Paul Thomas, don't you, Danny?
What about Paul Thomas?
Mr. Arakarian is a polite man, Danny. He's trying to tell you the kid absconded with an awful lot of jewelry.
Please, this matter is very dolorous to me.
$100,000 worth, Danny.
How about letting Mr. Arakarian tell it his way, huh, Kirk?
He was just phrasing it neatly. $100,000, Danny.
Right now, you just listen, Kirk. What did Paul Thomas do, Mr. Arakarian?
He failed to deliver a consignment. He failed to let me know the reason why. He has been gone since this morning. Disappeared.
Like a puff of smoke, huh, Mr. Arakarian? That's what you said?
They assign a bright eye like you to this, Kirk?
Like me, Danny.
Mr. Jerry Kirk is from the insurance company. In a matter like this, one thinks of insurance.
In a case like this, one also thinks of how maybe Paul got slugged. One also thinks he could have been robbed, Mr. Arakarian. Paul Thomas turns up in an alley, Kirk. Slugged. A bet?
Yeah, sure. I know human nature, Danny. He's gone a long way with those rocks. Absconded. He's stolen.
Now, in a matter like this, the amount is not a pittance, Lieutenant. $100,000 worth of first water gems, jewel cases, settings.
You got a list of what's missing?
Right here. You see? It makes not an inconsiderable...
Yeah, it's not inconsiderable.
It is very dolorous, Lieutenant. You'll get them back?
Dolorous means it can make you cry. But Arakarian's dolorous was different from mine. His was $100,000 he'd lost. Mine was a boy named Paul Thomas that maybe I'd lost. But it was still only a maybe. I had two things to do. Turn the list of missing jewels into headquarters, which I did, then call at Paul's home in Harlem. Harlem is a guilt and a scar and a wound. And the wound is a tenement lighted by kerosene lamps. A tenement with barred windows through which you can watch the moonlight darting out on the backs of hungry rats. And Harlem is a place of quiet laughter that stops when it sees you walking up the stairs to the one room in which Paul's family of five live.
Yes? Always, Mr. Clover.
Hi, Mrs. Thomas.
I hardly expected to. Please forgive the way I look.
Oh, you look fine, Mrs. Thomas, fine. May I come in?
Why, of course, of course. The children are outside playing.
It's just as well, Mrs. Thomas. I want to talk to you.
Please sit down, Mr. Clover.
Sue?
Is it about Paul?
When did you see him last, Mrs. Thomas?
This morning. He stopped by on his way to work. Is there anything...
He doesn't live here anymore?
No, Mr. Clover. Paul's a man now, and he needs a place of his own.
Where is it, Mrs. Thomas?
Is my boy in trouble, Mr. Clover?
Well, we don't know. I don't think so, but I have to be sure. Where's his place, Mrs. Thomas?
It's a rooming house on 137th Street, 26 East. It's clean. You can actually see the sun. Paul couldn't do anything wrong. Not anymore, Mr. Clover. Paul's good. He's good.
He hasn't been by here tonight.
No, but that doesn't mean anything. Lots of times he doesn't come by at night, but he'll be here in the morning. He's always here for breakfast in the morning.
Well, I think I'll run over to that address you gave me, Mrs. Thomas. Sorry I can't stay and visit with you.
You'll let me know about my boy, Mr. Clover. Whatever way it is, you let me know.
It'll be all right, Mrs. Thomas. It has to be all right. Outside, it was one block north and two to my left of the subway station at 125th and Lenox. In those three blocks, you could feel the breeze from the East River fighting a losing battle with the heat. But it wasn't the heat that stopped me. It was Squad Car 15, Patrolman Florio at the controls. Not bad, Florio. 3-point landing.
Hi, Lieutenant. Come on, get in.
Thanks. Are you headed uptown?
Well, that depends, Lieutenant. Wherever you say.
Uptown?
You better call headquarters first. I've been cruising, looking for you. Headquarters said you were in Harlem.
Yeah, call them, Florio.
Sure. Troll car 15 calling headquarters. Come in. Troll car 15 calling headquarters.
Headquarters receiving patrol car 15. Go ahead, 15.
I take it, Danny.
Yeah. Danny Clover speaking.
Danny, Tartaglia speaking. About that Arakarian robbery. Guy named Jerry Kurt called you.
Yeah?
Said he wanted you there when he took Paul Thomas.
Oh, where's all this taking place?
137th Street, a condemned tenement, 3 houses beneath the northeast corner on Lenox. 10 o'clock, the guy said.
That's right now, Tartaglia. Thanks. Let's go, Florio. You heard the man.
Right.
Florio.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
You're only giving me a lift down the block. Turn off that siren, huh?
Hello, Danny. Glad you showed.
Headquarters said you had Paul. You got him, Kirk?
He's in that tenement, Danny.
But he materialized out of that puff of smoke? How do you know he's in there?
Look, Danny, a guy steals $100,000 worth of jewelry. It's hot. He can't get rid of it. So he makes a deal with the insurance company. The deal Paul made was for 15 grand.
He got in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. He said meet him here. So I got in touch with you. I'm double-crossing him, Danny. I called in the cops. You wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, let's go in. And Kirk, keep your gun in your pocket.
Danny, you know I seldom carry a gun, and tonight's one occasion when I don't.
Come on.
Hey, it's pretty dark. Lucky I brought a flash.
Paul. Paul Thomas.
Let me handle it, Kirk. Paul. Paul, it's Danny Clover. Paul. Maybe he isn't here, Kirk.
He's here. That sound came from down in the basement.
Hey, Kirk, somebody's shooting downstairs and not at us.
Yes, and somebody's taking a powder, too.
Let's get him.
Don't you think it's time you got out your gun, Danny?
Yeah, it's all changed now. Hey,
huh?
Shine your light over there.
Where?
Back of the staircase.
Yeah. Hey, Danny. A body. Danny, look, he's got a gun.
Paul. Paul.
He's dead, Danny. Your boy's dead.
Why was he killed?
He was a bad boy, Danny. A bad boy with bad company, and the company just took a powder. How do you like your boy now, Danny?
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. Casey, crime photographer, finds an innocent-eyed young woman riding a murder-go-round tonight. As he joins her, his girlfriend, reporter Ann Williams, and Ethelbert, the magnificent bartender, caution him to go slow. For a merry ride with murder, join Casey and his pals tonight. And also be around for Second Class Passenger, another thrilling study in Escape. Crime photographer and Escape are Thursday night features of most of these same CBS stations. Now, back to Broadway's My Beat.
One thing about Broadway, you can become a name overnight. All you have to do is have 3 current wives or ride 4 winners in a row. Or you can do it the way Paul Thomas did. Get caught up in $100,000 jewel theft. Keep your mouth shut about it by being found dead in a Harlem tenement. Not that Paul Thomas would make much of a splash, but he would make a fast 30 seconds conversation piece over cheesecake and coffee. A cop uses up the night begging, pleading, grubbing for a break in a murder case. Then he goes home and begs for sleep. And in the morning he goes back to his office at headquarters and starts all over again, And that's where it broke. Come in. Come in. Come in.
Danny. Danny, open your eyes. I got a surprise for you.
You open them. I'm tired.
I got something on the Paul Thomas case.
What?
Yeah, see? You opened your eyes all by yourself. It's not hard, is it, Danny?
I could close yours just as easy. What do you got?
Well, one of the Arakarian jewels showed up at a pawn shop.
When?
10:30 last night.
10:30? That was after Paul's murder. How come you wait till now to give it to me?
Easy, Danny. Take it easy.
All right, but how come?
Larry of Larry's Pawn Shops Limited just phoned it in. Says he didn't get our list till 10 this morning.
Larry, sir. Give me a squad car, Tartaglia. I'll pick it up out front.
Okay. Danny.
Yeah?
I know what this means to you. Sorry I kidded.
That's okay, Sergeant. It's okay. But get that squad car, huh?
Danny, boy. Danny, you. This is quite an honor.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. I could have saved you the trip if you just called me.
I needed the air. Okay, Larry, what do you got?
Danny, do you mind stepping in the back room? I'm trying to close a deal. Sometimes it embarrasses my clientele to see me consorting with a detective.
Ain't it a shame? Give it to me, Larry, and quick.
Oh, Danny, this isn't like you.
You want me to show you what I can really be like?
Okay, Danny. Okay, I'll get it for you. Think it over, mister. I'll be right with you. Here it is, Danny. Here you see?
Hmm?
This diamond ring matches up exactly with the one on the Arcarian list you boy sent me. If I say so myself, it's a beauty.
Yeah, but who pawned it?
It's on the ticket. A girl named Ellen West lives at this address on 115th Street. At least that's the name of the address she gave me.
You know where to send it. Send the ring.
It hurts me to part with it. Say, isn't it polite the way I cooperate with you boys, Danny? You'll remember it, won't you?
Sure. By the way, what did you give the girl for the ring?
It's worth $2,000. I gave her $600.
Can't hear you, Larry. How much?
$600.
Still can't hear.
It was worth $2,000. I gave her $600. Oh, Danny, I could kill you. Hey, mister, you didn't hear what I said. I was just kidding. Pay no attention. I didn't mean it. I'm ready to offer you a little more.
The girl whose name might be Ellen West lived in a street that might have been anywhere. Could have been a market street in the slums of Madrid or Rome or Athens or New Orleans. It could have been anywhere. But right now it was under the bridge of the New York, New Haven, and Hartford Railroad. Right now it was a street where Paul's murderer might be waiting in a dark room behind a locked door, waiting for a knock that had to come.
Yes? Who is it?
The police. Open up.
Please, why you come here? I haven't done anything.
Are you Ellen West?
That's right. That's my name. How you know my name? I don't know you.
I'm Danny Clover, Ellen. Broadway Special Detail. I'd like to ask you some questions.
Mr. Danny Clover.
Huh?
Paul told me a lot about you. Please come in, Mr. Clover.
Thanks. You knew Paul Thomas?
I knew him better than anybody. We were going to be married.
How old are you? 16, Ellen?
18, going on 19. That's not too young to get married, Mr. Clover. I mean, it wouldn't have been.
Ellen, you pawned a ring yesterday. Where'd you get it? Did Paul give it to you?
Where would Paul get a ring like that, Mr. Clover?
Where'd you get it, Ellen?
Came in the mail.
Oh, you have the package it came in?
I threw it away, Mr. Clover. I threw it away. Because I didn't want to know where to send it back.
Maybe you should have given it to the police.
Maybe I should have done what I did. I got $600 for that ring, Mr. Clover. With $600, two people like Paul and me could get married.
Did you tell Paul about the ring?
I didn't see Paul yesterday, Mr. Clover. I didn't see him to tell him about the ring. Or anything. I got so much to tell him.
Paul's mother said he had a room of his own. Did you ever see it?
I saw it. I met his roommate, Joe Kendall.
His roommate?
Well, not exactly. You see, Mr. Clover, where Paul lived, that room of his own, that was just a place where he could sleep for 8 hours. Joe Kendall had it for the other 8 hours. They do that a lot up here.
Yeah, I know. Now, that's all, Ellen. Just one thing. You won't go away.
Where would I go, Mr. Clover? Mr. Clover?
Yes, Ellen.
Here's the $600. I got no use for it now.
The hotbed address of Paul's roommate, Joe Kendall, didn't pan out, but a suddenly forgetful landlord suddenly regained his memory when he put on a pair of wire-rimmed glasses and examined my police badge. His cooperation from that instant was a thing of joy. Joe Kendall was working right now, mister. Joe Kendall worked in the change booth in the subway station at 59th Street.
Want some change, mister?
No, change. Information.
What kind of information?
Your name, Joe Kendall?
That all depends on what connection the name's being used.
In connection with the police.
Show me.
Try this.
Yeah? Yeah, that badge says you're the police. Says my name's Joe Kendall. What can I do for you, Lieutenant?
It's about Paul Thomas, Joe.
I read about him in the papers this morning. I'm sorry about Paul.
How sorry?
Lieutenant? Wait a minute. Here you are, lady. 2 dimes and a nickel. Lieutenant, it's this
Maybe
way.
Maybe I asked you a bad question, Joe.
Not at all. I'm sorry about Paul, Lieutenant. As sorry as I am for any man who died the way Paul did.
What about Paul? What did he tell you about himself?
Well, things like I'm tired, Joe. That's what he used to say to me. When he woke me up because it was his turn to sleep, he'd tell me things like that.
That's all?
Other things too, Lieutenant, but that was a general idea.
Something else, Joe. That ring on your finger, where'd you get it?
Are you going to believe me? Okay, Lieutenant, I'll tell you anyhow. I got it in the mail yesterday.
You should have let the police know.
I should have, but I didn't. Maybe I was going to. Maybe I was going to pawn it. I don't know.
You'd better let me have it.
Sure. Here. Take it. Lieutenant, I'm in trouble now, huh?
I guess right now you come under a couple of laws in the penal code, Joe, but which one escapes me? Just don't run away.
I'll be here, Lieutenant. Here or in Harlem, one place or the other.
It was a decision I had to make about the girl, Ellen West, and about Joe Kendall. And it was a decision I made. They turned up with a part of the missing jewelry and a strange story how they'd got it, and I didn't book them. I didn't put a tail on them. If they told the truth, it gelled an idea that was shaping itself. If they'd lied, I'd know it before the day was over. Back at headquarters, I made out my report that way and turned it in. Then there was nothing to do but trade stares with Sergeant Tartaglia and wait for the report from the technical boys.
Well, I don't know, Danny. I don't know. I'm not sure you did the right thing. Those two might have been holding back.
Technical lab reports, Lieutenant. Ballistics, chemical, prints, all of them.
Thanks.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Ballistics, nothing. No, I figured there'd be nothing there. Hey. So long, Tartaglia.
Hey, Danny, where you going?
Take a look at those reports. They'll make your red face even redder. Those photoelectric eyes wink even at you, huh, Eric Carrion?
They make no distinction, Lieutenant, between friend or enemy. They're ever alert, ever suspicious.
Yeah, you kept me waiting a long time, Eric Carrion.
A jeweler has many things to take care of, Lieutenant. Sometimes he must keep even the police waiting. But you're not lonely. Did not Monsieur Atou amuse you?
Oh, so that's his name. No, your flunky Atou didn't amuse me. He's so silent, so sinister, is that the word?
It's a good word for Atou.
Tell me, Atou, that shoulder holster you wear under your morning coat, how do you avoid a bulge? You must have a good tailor. I wish I had a tailor like that.
I will send you the name of Atu's tailor, Lieutenant. That all you wanted?
That's just part of it. I'd like to have a look at your vaults.
You wish to buy some jewelry wholesale?
No, I'd just like to find some lost jewelry. Stolen, it says on this list. Stolen from a Mr. Eric Carrion. That's why I'd like to have a look at your vaults.
You're insane, but I will humor you. But first, a trifle. You have a warrant, Lieutenant?
Now, what do you know about that? I clean forgot to get myself a warrant. But as you say, it's a trifle. Now, how about the vaults?
I do not think so, Lieutenant. In your country, I have learned to do everything comme il faut.
How?
Comme il faut. Translation, as it should be.
Thanks. I like to learn new words.
A warrant would be as it should be.
Then I'll just have to get the vault open myself.
Atto!
Tell your flunky to take his hands off me.
Atto is a very difficult man to tell things to. Not only does he not talk often, often he does not listen.
Tell him to take his hands off me.
Perhaps you could persuade him yourself, Lieutenant.
Yeah, perhaps I could. Oh, Atto, I went and spoiled your croesus.
You policeman, I...
Well, Kirk, the eminent investigator, today on occasion for carrying a gun. You didn't have to shoot Eric Carrion.
I did, Danny. To save you from getting knocked off, I had to do just that.
Save me? What are you talking about?
Well, look at him. Look at Eric Carrion's hand. He was just getting ready to pull a Luger.
Yeah. Okay, Kirk, this wraps it up. Let me have your gun.
Huh? What for?
Ballistics will want it to check it against the slugs in the body.
But you saw me shoot him, Danny.
The gun, Kirk.
Are you off your rocker, Danny?
The gun.
I've got a permit for this gun.
The gun! Ow. Yeah, thanks for the gun.
Oh, sure. Sure, Danny, now that I know you were sincere about wanting it. Well, like you said, this wraps it up. You figured it a little ahead of me, that's all.
Tell me how.
Oh, easy. Eric Carrier never parts with the jewels and reports them stolen for insurance money.
Yeah, true, true. Tell me, Kirk, how do you figure Paul Thomas figures?
Also simple. Eric Carrier tells the kid to make it look like the kid ran away. Well, maybe Eric Carrier wanted to do it another way, and the kid balked.
Yeah, that's right, Kirk. Paul came to me yesterday and started to tell me he was in trouble. It adds up, huh?
It adds up neat.
You know what else? Two of the gems showed up with two of Paul's friends. Eric Carrion mailed them to throw off suspicion.
Clever, real clever.
Yeah, but here's the twist. The gun Paul was holding in that tenement cellar had no fingerprints on it.
Huh?
He was dead before he went in that tenement, Kirk. Dead men leave no prints. Paul Thomas was dead before I saw you, Kirk.
Hey, that is a twist.
That scene in the condemned tenement, you and Eric Carrion staged it. That's why I want your gun, to check it against the slugs they took from Paul's body.
You're crazy, Danny.
Listen, how else I'm crazy. You killed Paul. You propositioned him and he'd have none of it, so you killed him. And you killed Eric Carrion so he wouldn't implicate you.
You stink, copper. You stink, but you won't take me!
I've been waiting for you to do that, Kirk. Waiting.
Ow!
That's for Paul. For Paul. For Paul. Ow! What stopped me was something gentle. A tap on the shoulder, it was all. But it stopped me. Man from headquarters looked down at me and his tap was gentle. He said that was enough. I quit, but I didn't believe him. He said Kirk was something the law had to take care of. Then I had to believe him because I'm a cop. In the mid-afternoon heat, Broadway is a desert littered with mirages of what might be men or women. You touch some and they vanish. You touch others and they snarl and slink away. It's real or it's phantom. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes, with script by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for Broadway's My Beat. Mr. Keene, the famed tracer of lost persons, goes society tonight. Knowing Mr. Keene, you'll realize at once that it's not so much the question of which fork, but which suspect. Mr. Keene's latest adventure, the Society Murder Case, will follow in just a few moments on most of these same CBS network stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Now from the streets of New York up into space, way, way out there in outer space, it's X-1 and To the Future. This was first broadcast in 1955.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, presents
X-1.
Tonight's story, To the Future, by Ray Bradbury. Time is an interesting phenomenon. A ticking clock, the running sands of an hourglass. All these have captured the imagination of men. But time is more. It exists now and then and in the future. Suppose we are in the year 1955. Coexistent in time may be worlds we have never seen, the worlds of the past and of the future. The year 1955. It was a spring night in Mexico, fiesta time. The fireworks shot up into the clear, dark sky, and a papier-mâché bull ran about the plaza chasing boys and laughing men. Mr. and Mrs. William Travis stood on the edge of the yelling crowd, smiling.
Bravo, Bravo!
Well, what is it? What do they say?
They're cheering for the bull. Here he comes. He's good, isn't he? Look at how they rig that fire breathing.
Oh, Bill, it's wonderful. I've never enjoyed myself so much in my life.
It's terrific. They caught the bull. Bravo, Toro!
Bill, it will go on, won't it? Yeah. I mean, our trip.
Sue, don't worry. I've got enough traveler's checks for a lifetime. Relax.
No, but suppose they find us.
Forget it. They haven't a chance.
But suppose they do. Suppose they take us back.
They'll never find us. Oh, relax. Enjoy yourself.
If it only lasts.
Come on. Let's get out of the crowd, hmm? You need a drink.
Let's try something different this time. Mm-hmm. I want to try every drink there is in the world.
Don't worry. There's no rush. We've got plenty of time now. In here. There's a table over there. Come on.
Bill.
What's the matter?
Don't look right away.
Huh?
Over your left shoulder, right by the end of the bar. That man.
What is it?
I saw him this morning in the plaza.
Take it easy. The town's full of tourists.
He was at Juarez and at Tesco. Bill, I'm afraid.
Don't stare at him. Come on.
I know it's the same man. He was wearing the same white suit.
Sit down, Sue. Come on, dear. Smile. Act natural.
Billy's been following us. He's a searcher. I know he is.
Quiet. Here, boy.
Si, senor.
Benedictine and brandy, too.
Si, senor.
He's been watching us, Bill.
Pull yourself together, Susan.
They can't take us back.
Will you quit worrying? The chances are 1 in 1,000 that they've found us. It's probably just a coincidence.
I want to lie down. I think I'm going to be sick.
Susan, hang on, will you? If he is looking for us, we can't run out. It'd attract attention.
We must have slipped up when we checked out in New York.
What's he doing now?
Stopped our waiter. He's asking him something.
Well, may just want a drink.
Bill, I can't stand it. I've got to go upstairs and lie down.
All right, all right. As soon as we finish our drinks.
What's he doing now?
He's nodding at me, as if he knows me. He's smiling. Billy's coming over here.
Watch yourself. We've got to go right on in front of him, so if he is what we think he is, he won't suspect.
I can't.
We've got to. Come on. So I said to David, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Mr. Christian, you did not pull up your pants leg when you sat down.
What? I'm afraid you've got the wrong person. My name isn't Chrysler.
Kristen.
Oh. I'm William Travis. I don't see what my pants leg has to do with it.
Mind if I sit down? See, everyone nowadays pulls up his pants leg when he sits down. Like this. See, it keeps the trouser from bagging at the knees. But of course, if you're not used to this style of clothing...
Now, see here, we don't know you.
You don't? I'm sorry. I thought I knew you.
This is our table, if you don't mind.
You see, I'm looking for two friends of mine. A man and his wife. Very much like you. The man is an atomic scientist. The wife, a bacteriologist. Very important people. They work on government business.
What are you talking about?
And when I find my friends, I'm going to take them home with me.
Look here, Mr. Mr.
Sims. That will do for now.
Well, look, I understand you thought you knew us, but you see, you're mistaken. Now, if you'll excuse us, my wife and I were just going up to our room. We have to make an early start in the morning.
Oh, going for a trip? Acapulco, perhaps? Oh, a lovely spot.
Never mind where we're going.
Yes, yes, of course. You don't like crowds, tourists. Probably like to get off the beaten path. You know, I have a vacation folder here that might interest you.
Please, Bill, let's go.
It's put out by an outfit that calls itself Travel in Time Incorporated.
Travel in Time?
Yes. They've come up with a rather intriguing idea. Here. Travel in Time Incorporated can costume you, put you in the crowd at any place and time in history. We guarantee to teach you any language you need to move freely in any year without risk of detection. This summer, why not escape from the worries of our modern world? Take your vacation in time.
That's impossible, of course.
Ah, but think what it would mean. A chance to escape all the tensions of an unpleasant life. War, insecurity, fear. Suppose you were a scientist working on a dangerous bomb project. Or you, Mrs. Travis. Suppose you were a bacteriologist working on disease cultures. And you had a chance to escape all that. To take a vacation 200 years in the past. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? To escape to a more peaceful world. A trip back to 1955.
1955? But you said a vacation in the past.
So I did. But you see, 1955 is the past. If you come from the year 2155.
2155?
Yes. Terrible times. Most unpleasant. A war raging. An atomic bacteriological war. Terrible times. With none of the little comforts we enjoy today. Like this fine Havana cigar.
Well, I want to go upstairs. I want to lie down.
If you were living then, think of how wonderful it would be to take a vacation in time. Back to now. Suppose a young couple, like yourselves, took a trip to 1955 and didn't want to come back. Do you know what would happen? The government sends a searcher back to look for them.
This is all fantastic.
The searcher finds them and brings them back. Back to that miserable, insane, stark, pleasureless world of 2155. A pity, isn't it?
Look here, Sims.
Do you think I shall find my two friends, Mr. Travis?
Bill, please take me upstairs. I don't feel well.
Oh, is the lady feeling a bit ill? How unfortunate.
Here are the drinks, Senor.
Ah. Well, shall we drink a toast? To 2155. To the future.
Inside. Inside, quick.
What are you doing?
Shoving a chair under the doorknob.
He knows. He's been following us. He's a searcher.
Look, keep quiet, Sue. I want to think.
You're going to take us back.
It isn't over yet. I've got a headache.
I'll get you an aspirin. What will they do to us?
I don't know. Something slipped. Something must have slipped.
But we were so careful.
The searchers are trained to watch for detail. Things like not pulling up my trousers. Started them thinking, there's a man who isn't used to ancient clothes. I could kill myself for giving it away.
No. No, it was my walk. These high heels. Here.
Thanks. The nerve of that Sim sitting there looking us up and down like animals, smoking those stinking cigarettes.
You know, that's how I first noticed him at Tasco. He had four bottles of liqueurs and a pile of chocolates.
Yes, he still hasn't gotten over that first greedy hunger. We've got to look out for that. It's the sure sign of somebody from the future, trying to make up for a lifetime of shortages by stuffing yourself sick. Remember our first night?
Phil, I can't stand it. We've got to get out of here.
What are you doing?
Packing. Get the suitcases up.
It's no use.
What do you mean? We can get to Acapulco by morning.
Don't you think he's watching us?
We could get away.
No, no, no. We've got to sit tight. Maybe he isn't sure of us yet. Maybe we can still figure out some way to escape. Come on now. We'll need our strength. We'd better try to get some sleep.
No. No. I won't go back. Security, pull it. The bomb. The bomb. It's falling. It's killing.
Sue. What's the matter?
No.
Sue.
No!
Sue, wake up. Wake up, Sue.
Bill,
Sue.
Bill, Bill, where are we?
It's all right, all right, all right. Calm down, honey. We're still in 1955. It's all right.
Oh.
You must have had a nightmare.
Oh, Bill, it was awful. We were back there, 2155. Oh, Bill, we won't go back there, will we, ever?
Go back to sleep, honey. It's all right. We're in Mexico, 1955, and we're going to stay here. Sue, I've been lying awake here thinking. He's still testing us. He's not absolutely certain. He's got all the time in the world. He can stay here as long as he likes. And then bring us back to the future 60 seconds after we left it.
They can't make a scene, can they? They don't dare come out in the open.
No, no, it might change the future. They're afraid of that.
Bill, if we could only tell somebody, ask for
you
help.
No, we can't. That's why we had to submit to the psychological block treatment before they okayed our vacation. We couldn't tell if we tried. The block's too strong.
Maybe we can break it,
oh,
Bill.
What's the use, darling? Who'd believe a crazy story like ours? Who'd believe we come from 2155? No, we can't tell. And they'll have to get us alone to put us in the time machine to send us back.
Then that's it, Bill. We'll never be alone. It's still fiesta tomorrow. It'll be easy to stay in the crowd.
Yes. Yes, that's the only chance. We can't let him get us alone. He won't get us back to that war and that insane world.
Bill. Well,
could be the room clerk.
At 3 in the morning?
I'd better answer.
Don't, Bill, don't.
I've got to. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Travis?
What's the idea? It's 3 in the morning.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to remind you, the rabbits may hide in the forest, but a fox can always find them.
What was it, Bill? Bill.
Never mind. Come on, let's get some sleep while we can.
Buenos dias, senor y señora.
Good morning, Senor Gomez.
I trust you are spending pleasant days in my hotel. Fiesta time is the best.
Yes, it's been lovely.
Your special table is all ready for breakfast.
Hey, where in blazes the hotel? You, Buster, where's the hotel in this godforsaken sinkhole of a one-horse town? All the blighted deserts of the whole stinking country.
Great excitement. Very great.
What is it?
They come with four trucks and innumerable automobiles.
Uh-huh.
A motion picture company from Hollywood.
Oh, what are they doing down here?
They make the pictures of our fiesta for the background. Manager, huh? That fat man,
The one with the most colorful shirt. He is the chief.
Manager!
Director!
Manager! Where's the manager of this Adobe Playback?
Coming, senor. You will excuse me, senor. I hope the table is satisfactory. Coming, senor.
This is a break, so that movie company will draw crowds, and that helps us.
But when can we leave, Bill?
Oh, not today. He'd be...
Okay, kids, end of the line. Ciao. Get up, Maxwell, and lay off the pepper. I got an ulcer.
Bill, there's Sims across the dining room.
Can't do anything now, not with these actors coming in.
Gloria, you sit next to Papa.
Hello.
Max, make sure nobody monkeys with the trucks and the gear.
Right, Chief.
Do we have to eat at this crummy joint, Joe?
Cheer up, sweetie. Your mere presence makes this chasins and truck roll into one.
No, not this early in the morning, Joe. I couldn't stand
it. Okay. Anything you want, laddies. It's on the dear old expense account.
They look happy, don't they?
There's an idea. Maybe I could hire two of them. I could say it was a joke.
Why?
We could dress them in our clothes, have them drive off in our car sometime when Sims couldn't see their faces.
Where would that get us?
With him off on their trail, we might make it to Mexico City. It'd take years to find us there.
Wait, that movie man's coming over.
Excuse me, you folks are Americans, aren't you?
That's right.
Boy, am I glad to see you. I'm so sick of hearing Spanish, I could kiss you. Hey, come on over and eat with us, huh?
Well, I don't think we should intrude.
Oh, come on. Misery loves company. I'm Misery, and that's the company. We're from Hollywood.
So I understand.
Yeah. Boy, would I like to be there. Oh, I'm Joe Melton. I'm the director.
I'm William Travis. This is my wife, Susan.
Mutual. Come on over, kids. Join the party. Cheer us up. Only no tamales. I burned out 3 kidneys on tamales since I came over the border. boy, am I funny, huh?
Wonderful.
Well, come on over. Hey, kiddies, I got new blood. Brother Yanks.
Just a moment, Mr. Travis. I thought you might be breakfasting with me alone.
Sorry.
I got him first, Mac. You want to join us?
No, I've already ordered. Mr. Travis... I think you'd better talk with me.
Say,
now.
Is this guy giving you trouble?
No, it's all right.
Then I say the word and I'll have Max pitch him out in his ear.
No, it's all right. We'll be right over, Mr. Melton.
Bill.
We'll talk to Mr. Sims. Mr. Melton, you sort of keep an eye on us, huh? After all, you found us first.
Yeah, sure. Well, come on over soon, kids.
Sit down, Mr. Travis. I hope you slept well.
Did you?
Well, I'm not used to spring mattresses, but there are compensations. I stayed up half the night trying new cigarettes and foods. A whole new spectrum of sensation, these ancient vices. We miss something in our world, don't we? And when we get back here, we try to cram it all in a few short days.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Still acting, eh? But it's no use. You can't stay in crowds all the time. I'll get you alone soon enough. I'm immensely patient. However, let's come to the point. You know we can't let you get away with this escape. Other people in the year 2155 might get the same idea and do the same thing. And we need people.
To fight your wars?
Bill.
It's all right, Susan. We can talk on his terms now. He's got us. We can't escape.
Oh, at last. Really, you know, you've been incredibly romantic, running away from your responsibilities.
Running away from horror.
Oh, nonsense. Only a war.
Only? With half the world dead and the other half dying?
Yes, but we can't have you escaping here while we drop off a cliff. Dying people love to know that others died with
them. Hey, kids, break it up. We're waiting on you.
The longer you keep me waiting, the harder it will go on you.
What do you mean?
We need you on that bomb project. Return now, and no torture.
Torture?
Yes. You see, later we'll force you to work. And after you finish the bomb, we'll try a number of complicated new devices on you.
Yeah.
As you say, you can't escape. We have all the time in the world here.
Sims, I'll make a deal with you. I'll come back now. If my wife stays here, alive, safe, away from that war...
No, Bill,
keep
no...
Keep quiet, Sue. Well, Sims, you need me for that bomb. You can duplicate her work.
It exceeds my authority, but, all right. Meet me in the plaza in 10 minutes.
All right. I'll pick you up in the car.
Good. We'll drive out into the country to some deserted spot, and I'll have the time travel machine pick us up.
Bill, I won't let you.
Don't argue, dear. It's settled. Sims, there's one thing.
Yes?
Last night, instead of calling, you could have broken into our room and got us. Why didn't you?
Shall we say that I was enjoying myself? Take this new fine cigar, for example. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you know that I have 12 boxes up in my room? And liqueurs, crème de menthe, benedictine, crème de coca, and so many others. And the wine. Oh, I've got the closets full of them. And I shall so hate to leave it all. Well, I'll meet you in the plaza in 10 minutes. Your wife may stay here as long as she wishes.
All right, Sims, it's a deal. Hmm.
Don't try anything now, Travis.
I know when I'm beat. We just want a few minutes to say goodbye.
I shall be seeing you then.
No, I won't let you do it. I won't let you.
Oh, please,
I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to get help.
You can't. The psychological
block. We've got to try. It's our last chance.
Hey, aren't you two going to join us?
Mr. Melton, I've got something to tell you, and you've got to believe me.
It won't work,
I've got to try.
Now, go ahead, kid. Spill it.
You've got to understand. You see, we really... Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, my head.
Huh?
I can't think. My head.
Say, you need a bromo, honey.
It can't work, Sue. The block's too strong. We better get the car.
Bill. Bill, please.
Someone's crying.
Somebody.
Now, breakfast, no time for people to cry. Now, what in the world could a good-looking kid like you find to cry about?
Bill, I won't let you do it.
Don't make it hard, Susan.
Let me go back with you. We'll get through some way.
You think I'd let you go back to that war? Sue, please stop. We haven't got much time.
It was so wonderful here, Bill. Bill, please.
There he is. Smoking those Turkish cigarettes, waiting for us.
There must be some way we can both stay here.
Maybe there is.
Bill, what are you going to do?
Hang on, Sue, and duck when I tell you.
No, Bill, you're heading right for him.
He's not going to get either of us now. Down, Sue, down! Darling, it's all right.
Oh.
It's all over. Darling, this is the mayor.
Senor, your husband has been officially cleared in this most unfortunate affair. It is obvious this senor seems died of an unavoidable accident.
An accident? Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Adios, senor, senora.
Will they want to see you again?
No. No, I'm clear.
Oh.
I lost control of the car. That's the way it stands. Sue, I hated to kill him. I've never wanted to do anything like that in my life.
Where shall we go now? Mexico City?
The car's in the repair shop. Won't be ready till 4. And we'll get out.
Hey there, Travis. Wait up.
Oh, it's that movie man, Bill. He was very good to me when they had you in there.
Hey, I heard what happened. They sprung you, huh? Great, great.
Yes, it was an accident.
Well, lucky you didn't get hurt yourselves. Everything okay now?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Ah, it's fine, fine. But you both look a little rocky. Say, you want to get your mind off your troubles. We're through for the day. Clouds foul up our shooting schedule. We're going to put a header on it up at the hotel. Gloria's cracking the ice now.
Well, maybe we will join you. But first I've got to check up on the car.
Well, don't miss the party, kiddies. See you upstairs.
Bill, I don't think...
Relax, honey. We've got the break now. Sims is dead. Before they can put another searcher on our trail, we'll have time to make a clean getaway.
How about the car?
Be ready till 4. Got a couple of hours to kill.
Oh, I'm so tired.
What you need is a little excitement. We rate a celebration, honey.
Well, I guess it would be nice to unwind.
Sure. We'll go up to Melton's room, have a couple of drinks, a few laughs. Don't worry, honey. It's all over. We can relax.
Great, great. Call me Joe. Gloria, yanking of the cork. We got company.
I'm glad having you. Here you are, kid.
You kids ready to drink? Yeah, that was a pretty messy business, but it's all over now, huh?
Yes, it's all over.
Time to unlax. Grab a glass, honey.
Thank you.
Hey, quiet, everybody. Quiet. How about a toast to our guests?
Well, sure.
Come on, huh? Okay. All right. To a very beautiful lady, lovely enough for the movies.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm not kidding. That's why I came over to you in the first place. I might even give you a test. Oh, I mean it, honey. You're pretty nice. I could make you a movie star.
And take me to Hollywood?
At least to get us out of Mexico.
You're not serious.
Well, sure I am. Gloria, how about a refill?
Yeah, coming up.
That sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Bill?
Los Angeles is a pretty crowded city, isn't
crowded?
it?
Crowded? Hey, wait till you see the Sunset Buzz.
Well, you don't really think I could be an actress, do you? You don't have to cheer me up anymore. I'm feeling wonderful
now. No, I'm serious.
Really? Well, what kind of a film do you think my wife would be good for?
Well, I want to do a suspense story. Sort of a war story, you know. Gloria, pour Mr. Travis another glass. A story about a man and a wife. You live in a little house. I'm just ad-libbing this, you understand?
Well, sure, sure. Go on.
There's a war on, see? A terrible war, you see? And they live in the year, 2155.
Yeah.
Now, here's the gimmick. They escape into the past, and they kill a man who follows them to bring them back. Gloria, honeypot, get Mr. Travis another glass. He dropped his. Well, sir, this couple takes refuge with a group of movie people. Safety in numbers, they figure.
Yeah.
Ah, but the story goes on. This couple is terribly important for a new bomb. Let's call it the leprosy bomb. So the searchers figure out a way that they can get them alone in a hotel room. Shove a chair under the door now, Max.
Yes, sir.
You see, the searchers may work alone or in groups of eight so that if one of them's killed, the rest carry on. Don't you think that'd make a wonderful picture, huh, Susan? Don't you, Bill?
You're not going to get us, Melton. Stand still.
Look out!
Put that gun down, Travis.
Mr. Travis.
Who is it?
The manager. Your car is all ready. Shall I...
Grab him!
Let go of me. Let go!
Let's not make things worse, Mr. Travis.
Let me in. What were those shots? Let me in.
The manager, he heard the shots. Let's get going.
Let go of me.
Let me in there. Let me in.
He'll break down the door in a minute. Max, get ready to travel.
Get a chair.
Take a good look, Mr. Travis. Take a good look at 1955. You won't be seeing it anymore.
Bill!
Throw the switch!
Bill!
All right. Break it down.
Who shot that? Where are they?
I was at the door. I heard them inside.
They're gone. The windows.
No, the iron bars are undisturbed.
What happened to them? They just disappeared, all of them.
Senor, I think you had better send for the priest and the holy water.
Later. They just disappeared.
Look in the closet. Bottles. Hundreds of bottles. And boxes of 20 peso pure Havana filled cigars. These crazy Americanos. Why would anyone leave all this behind?
Juan, never question providence. Ah, bien. There is enough here to last us both for a month. I think we can look forward to a most happy future.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you To the Future by Ray Bradbury. It was adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Terry Keane, Alexander Scourby, Mercer McLeod, Joe DeSantis, Guy Sorrell, Alan Collins, and Stan Early. This is Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production. Next week on X-1, Ray Bradbury's story, Marionettes Incorporated.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.